This morning, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we're going to look at, I guess, the middle of the chapter, verses 20 to 45, for the message this morning. Last week, we talked about the problem that Mary and Martha faced, and we said that they took it to the Lord. So that was a good thing. It's a good thing to do because God invites us to do that. He invites us to bring our cares and troubles to Him. And that's a great blessing to know that we have that, and something that we should do as believers is take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. But the reality of it was that when they came with their burden to the Lord, and they expected probably a certain answer, and that answer didn't come. That answer wasn't what they expected it to be. And we realize that God's way of handling our troubles don't always go the way we expect them to go. We need to realize that God knows all things, and He has a plan and a purpose. And He said that right from the very beginning. He definitely told them that He cared about them. He loved them. There was no question about that. But He had a different means of handling the problem that they saw as only being handled really one way. This morning we're looking at the next part of the chapter and really talking about faith and belief. And Martha and Mary had all the facts, but the question was, did they believe? Did they believe what Jesus had said right from the very beginning? Did they believe what even they said, that they believed that He was able to do? There was evidence of faith for certain, but it was brought into question by their responses. As we look at the lives of Martha and Mary, we too are faced with the question of our faith. You know, it's easy to say, I believe God, I believe God's word, I believe that that everything will be fine, I believe that God has this under control, and so on. But sometimes our actions betray our words. Sometimes we do things that would indicate that though we say we believe, our actions would maybe speak otherwise, that we are trying to handle it ourselves, our way. And so this morning, with the message before us, I ask the question, as the message is entitled, do you believe? John 11, verse 20, the Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto Him, Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily, went out and followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in Himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wast believed, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Do you believe? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great story, an exciting account in your word. And Lord, how we pray that it would stir our hearts and stir our faith. Lord, that we would confirm our faith, that we would trust you all the more, and that we would see you do great and mighty things in our lives and through our lives because we trust you. And you've said in your word that you are looking for people who will trust you and who will believe what you're able to do because on their behalf you'll do great things. Lord, we thank you that we can receive salvation by simple faith. What a blessing it is to know that, Lord, faith is all that is required on our part to receive that salvation, just believing what you have done. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts, each one this morning, through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, we need to believe his promise. Believe his promise. In verses 20 to 38, we won't read them again, but we see here, of course, that Jesus had arrived in Bethany, or in the area, hadn't come into town yet, as we read this morning, but he was in the area. He was close by the town of Bethany. We see in verse 20 that Martha ran to greet him. As soon as she heard that he was there, she went. She went to find Jesus, and to meet him. You know, there were a lot of people there. We find in the story this morning that there was a lot of people that had gathered to mourn with Martha and Mary. And that was normal. That was a typical thing in that day, that there would be people, many people who would come and grieve. And some even had professional mourners that were actually paid. It was their job to mourn and grieve. And so there were a lot of people there. But you see, what, as soon as Jesus was there, Martha said, I'm going to see Jesus. It was worth more to her to see Jesus and to go and get his comfort than receive the comfort of all those guests. You know, you can only imagine how Martha must have felt, though, when she heard that Jesus was there. Excited, yes, Jesus is here. But he's too late. So kind of disappointed, kind of happy, excited. She ran to meet him. But then disappointed that he hadn't come sooner. But her faith is expressed in verses 21 to 24. And she said to Jesus, right as soon as she met him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You know, that was an expression of faith, wasn't it? She said, Jesus, I believe that you could have done something to stop my brother from dying. That's faith. That's faith in Jesus' ability to heal the sick. And I'm sure she had heard and probably seen Jesus heal the sick before. And hey, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead. In a way, that was saying, Lord, I believe what you can do. Another way, maybe it was saying, Lord, you didn't come soon enough. But she says, but even now, Lord, in verse 22, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it to thee. Still her faith was there. She recognized that Jesus could do the impossible. She may have heard about the widow of Nain who was weeping as she followed the casket of her son. And Jesus stopped the procession and raised that young man from the dead. She may have heard and probably had about Jairus' daughter who had that young lady who had passed away, and Jesus went into the room and he said that she's not dead but she sleeps, and they laughed him to scorn, and Jesus went and just with the parents of the child and with his closest disciples, he went into that room and told that young lady, I say unto thee, arise, and she rose. And he presented her alive. We don't know for sure what Mary was thinking, but we know that she expressed a faith here that said, Lord, I believe that you could have healed my brother before he died. And Lord, I still believe that you can do something in this situation. Jesus said then in response to that, Lazarus will rise again. Perhaps not wanting to get her hopes up about it being right then, She said, yeah, I know, Lord. I know that one day you're going to raise him. He's going to be resurrected. I know that's going to happen. One day he will. At the last day, he will be raised again. Job said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believed in that resurrection as well, that resurrection of the last day. You know, the Bible tells us, and Jesus had said back in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, that the day was coming that all who were in the graves would hear the voice of God and would be raised, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting punishment. Martha said, yeah, I know, Lord. He's going to rise again. I know he will have eternal life. I know that, Lord. But what about now? There was faith, though. She knew that what Jesus could do was possible. But did she really believe what she actually spoke? Lord, I believe that you're able to do anything. I believe that he will rise again. Verses 25 to 27, some very popular, very familiar verses of the Gospel of John. Jesus declared himself to be the resurrection and the life. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus hadn't died yet. And yet he said, I am the resurrection and the life. But remember, in chapter 10, he'd already said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. He knew what was before him, and he had told people that he was going to have his life taken, and he was going to lay his life down, but he was going to take it up again. He is the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John had said in John chapter 1, verse 4, that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus gave life in the very beginning. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He has said in John 10:27, I give unto them eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Quite a statement, isn't it? Whoever believes in me shall never die, but he that is dead and believes in me. How can you believe when you're dead? I don't believe Jesus is speaking about Lazarus anymore. He's speaking about people. You say, well, who can he be speaking about? Who's dead? How can dead people hear? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritually dead. When he says that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, he's speaking about people who are alive physically, but dead spiritually. And he said if they would believe in him, they will have life. By the way, I don't think that Lazarus necessarily was looking to rise from the dead. If he was already with the Lord, he didn't really want to come back to this old earth and have to die, go through the dying process again. But Jesus is speaking about those who are spiritually dead. Since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible teaches that all have been born spiritually dead. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Romans 5:12 tells us that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, he didn't die physically in that day, but he died spiritually. There was a separation between him and God. Between him and Eve and God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened, that means to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. They were physically alive, but they had been dead, spiritually dead in sin. The person who realizes that he is spiritually dead and believes in Jesus Christ as his Savior is made alive, as it were, resurrected, given spiritual life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, but he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a wonderful promise it is that we can have spiritual life. By doing what? By believing in Jesus. Belief in Christ as our Savior makes us spiritually alive. There's no other way for you to be spiritually alive. People try and generate excitement and they try and build up enthusiasm and all those things, but that doesn't make them spiritually alive. Only Jesus can make somebody who is spiritually dead spiritually alive. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They may be physically able. They may be walking around. They may be physically fit. They may be the strongest person in the world. They may be able to run a marathon. But if they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life, they are spiritually dead. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. There's only one way to be made spiritually alive, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. What a wonderful thing it is that by simple faith you can receive eternal life. And Jesus says there, then, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a great promise. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Eternal life in Jesus Christ brings with it the promise that we will never be separated from God again, ever. Never die. If the Lord comes first, we will die physically, but those who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior will never die spiritually. They've been made alive. Jesus said in John chapter 5, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. From death unto life. The person who's received Jesus Christ as their Savior will never die spiritually. They'll never be separated eternally from God in that place that the Bible calls hell. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said to Martha, believest thou this? Do you believe that, Martha? One has said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Jesus said, you must be born again. If we are born again, we will maybe die physically if the Lord doesn't come first, but we will never die spiritually. What a blessed assurance it is to know that in Jesus Christ we need not fear death. Will it bring sorrow to those who are left behind? Yes. But not sorrow as those that have no hope. Why? Because we know that those who passed away in Christ are with the Lord. And so 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The question of the hour is the same question that Jesus asked Martha after he said those wonderful words, believest thou this? Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ? Martha said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God that shall come into this world. She said, yes, Lord, count me in. I do believe. I am made alive through you. I believe. So believe his promise, but we also see the need to believe his passion. In verses 28 to 38 this morning, after declaring her faith in Christ, what did Martha do? She went and found her sister. Mary, you got to go see Jesus. He's just outside town. You got to go see him, and he's waiting to see you. And so Mary quickly arises, the same as Martha had done, and goes to see Jesus. We may wonder how come she didn't know sooner. Did Martha leave before she'd had told Mary that Jesus was there? Was Mary disappointed and that Jesus hadn't come sooner and decided to stay at the house? Did she feel the need to entertain the guests? We'll never know the side of eternity, but we do know that when Martha told her that Jesus wants to see you, she got up and she went and found Jesus. She went up and she went straight to Jesus. And unlike Martha, who seemed to get to Jesus unnoticed, Mary was accompanied by a crowd of mourners who assumed that she was going to the grave. So we better go cry with her. She's going to the grave. But Mary met Jesus and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. tells in verse number 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. An act of worship. You realize that just 2 miles away, maybe less, depending on exactly where they met in Jerusalem, not too long before they were seeking to stone Jesus. You realize that the public profession of faith that Mary made here maybe could have risked her own life. But she wasn't ashamed to worship her Savior. She wasn't ashamed to worship her Lord. She fell down at his feet, and we know then that she spoke to him. Unashamed of her love and devotion to Jesus, but then she makes the same statement as her sister. Word for word, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I wonder how many times Martha and Mary, when they were talking after Lazarus had died in those 4 days, said, if only Jesus had been here. If only Jesus had been here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. I know he could have done something. I know. I wonder why he didn't come. I wonder what took him so long to get here. The messengers said they saw him and they got back here quicker than him. How come? And so Martha and Mary, both those same words, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Yes, an expression of faith, but yes, perhaps a slight expression of disappointment. But again, we find that Mary is still willing to go to the Lord, worshiping him, realizing that she still will trust him. But the Savior's compassion is seen here in verses 33 to 36 as we think about believing the passion of the Lord. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Verse 36, the Jews said, behold how he loved him. At the beginning of the chapter, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, this is not unto death, but to the glory of God. And then John records that Jesus' words were that he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They could have seemed like empty words because he delayed his going to help. But there's no question about the love that Jesus had for this family here as we see that he weeps. He was moved by the scene of Mary and the crowd mourning for Lazarus. He groaned in his spirit. It means he sighed. He was troubled. The thought is being agitated. And then he wept. Whoever wants to learn a Bible verse, memorize it. Say you've got at least one down. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Say, I can do that. Say, what does that teach us? That teaches us that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's moved with our hurts. It reveals a tender heart of the Savior towards man. You know, there's some that think God is way up in heaven and he doesn't know what's going on down here on the earth. He's in a rocking chair up in heaven and he doesn't care and things are going on in the world and people are hurting. And why didn't God do something? Doesn't he care? Well, read this verse. Jesus wept. Jesus is concerned about the tribulations and trials in this world, particularly of his children. Hebrews 4 verses 14 to 16 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. Why? Because he cares. He loves us. He knows our needs. He knows our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. Here we see Jesus wept. The short verse, we could just say, oh wow, I can memorize that. That's short, that's easy. But oh, well, the power, the meaning of these verses. God cares. In 2 Corinthians 1, he's called the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. In Psalm 103 verse 14, it says, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings. He knows our difficulties. He knows our trials. And he weeps. He's concerned. I have to think that Jesus was moved as he saw the effects of death, realizing again that sorrow that came into the world because of sin, knowing that he came to conquer sin and take the sting out of death. We said, even with the hope of heaven, funerals are sad times. And the Lord is moved by the emotions of mankind, particularly his people. His passion was seen by the people who had gathered. They recognized the love of Jesus for Lazarus and Martha and Mary. They got a glimpse of his heart for mankind. Like Martha and Mary, they said, well, if he loved them so much, why didn't he do something? Well, he was fixing to do something. Something far greater than they could imagine. Their question seemed so valid to all concerned and to us today. Seeing only the present situation, sometimes we say, well, if he loves us so, why didn't he do something? Why didn't he handle it differently? Why didn't he intervene? Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man shouldn't have died? Why? He loves people. Why didn't he do something? Jesus is said again to groan within himself, saddened by their sorrow, saddened by their misunderstanding of his love and plan. I'd ask you this morning, do you believe in the passion of the Savior today? He's clearly demonstrated it to us, didn't he? The Bible says that God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, he cares about you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to die in your sin. He wants you to believe in him. Though you are dead, he wants to make you alive. He wants to make it so that you will never die by believing in Jesus Christ. And Christian, he wants that you would trust him and believe his love for you in the times of difficulty and realize that you can go boldly to him and find grace and mercy in the time of need. But we also see in closing this morning, we need to believe his power. We need to believe his promise. We need to believe his passion. Then we need to believe his power. Probably one of the most exciting, profound accounts of Jesus' ministry is the raising of Lazarus from the dead that we find in verses 38 to 45 this morning. You know, bodies were not embalmed as they are today in Israel, particularly in Egypt. Yes, they embalmed them, and we've got mummies and stuff today that they find in pyramids and so on. But in Israel, it wasn't the situation. Still, in many cultures today, it's still not the situation to embalm. And so we see here that Lazarus was placed in the grave as Jesus was placed in the grave. It was a cave. A stone was rolled in front of the door as it was with Christ. The bodies were wrapped in those grave clothes and they wrapped spices in them, just as we see in the burial of Jesus in John chapter 19. What were the spices there for? They were to kind of take away the bad smell by smelling something nice. So they were wrapped within those grave clothes. Burial was done quickly. Again, the spices mainly to reduce the smell of decay. And so Jesus is here, and he's at the gravesite of Lazarus. He said, where did you lay him? And they said, come and see. And he stood there, and he's weeping about the whole situation. And so he says then in verse 39, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Martha said, no, just hold on a minute, Lord. It's been 4 days. 4 days in a hot climate, 4 days with no embalming, 4 days. Martha said, Lazarus will stink. He'll smell. It'll be horrible. Don't take away the stone. It'll be embarrassing. Nobody will like it. It's just not going to be a nice situation. The Jews believed that after 3 days, the body was corrupted by decay. It'd been 4 days. How long was Jesus in the grave? 3 days. Why? Because the Lord said, prophesied in the Old Testament, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Not 4 days. The body was corrupted after four. 3 days only Jesus was in the grave. Martha told Jesus, though, here that, listen, he's been in the grave for 4 days. He's going to smell. But what had she said a few minutes before, maybe an hour or two before? We don't know the timeline. Verse 22, even now, Lord, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will do it. But now they're at the gravesite. Now they're ready to roll away the stone. And Martha says, but hold on a minute, Lord. He's going to be stinking in there. His body's decayed. Did she believe? Well, in her heart, I'm sure she did, but faced with the reality of the situation, Jesus had also told Martha that Jesus would rise, Lazarus would rise again. Jesus said, thy brother will rise again. And that he was the resurrection and the life, indicating that he was the one that was going to bring Lazarus back to life. Martha had claimed to believe it, but it was difficult to overcome the reality that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's corrupted. He's smelling. It's not going to be nice. You know, sometimes our claim to believe is contradicted by our lack of faith in his power. But verse 40 to 44 reveal to us that Jesus did have that power. In the face of Martha's doubt, Jesus didn't condemn her for her waning faith. What did he say? He just gently reminded her. Look what it says there in verse 40. Said I not unto thee that if thou wast believed, thou should see the glory of God? He didn't take a big, long dissertation saying, Mary, where's your faith? What's going on? What's wrong with you? I told you already. He said, listen, don't you remember, Martha? I told you if you believe, you'd see the glory of God. A gentle reminder of his power to do the impossible in the face of her wavering faith. Jesus prayed to the Father, and his prayer is public, but he says to the Father, Lord, I know that you've heard me, and I know I don't have to even say this out loud, but I'm just going to say it out loud so that the people around know who you are and who I am and that you sent me and your ability to raise the dead. It served to show the people who he was and that they would believe in him. Verse 42, it says, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. It's all about believing. Believing. Jesus wanted those people to believe who he was so that they would be made alive, so that they'd be quickened, so that they would never die. After praying, Jesus calls Lazarus by name, simply, Lazarus, come forth. 3 words that changed a lot of lives that day. It said that if Jesus hadn't used Lazarus' name, that all the graves would have opened. Why? Because John 5, 28, 29, we already said that there's coming a day where Jesus would speak and that those who would come forth who had died. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. This was Lazarus' day to come forth from the grave. And upon hearing Jesus' voice, Lazarus, dead for 4 days, could do nothing but come forth. Why? Because of the power of Christ to raise the dead. And Lazarus came forth. See, how in the world could he come forth? He's got grave clothes wrapped around him. He's got basically a blindfold over his whole face. How could he come forth? Somehow he managed to, you know, penguin walk or whatever out of that grave, and they saw him and he didn't smell. He just came forth. And Jesus said, loose him. Let the poor guy go. What a sight it must have been. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the gasps when they first rolled away that stone, expecting the smell, expecting the worst? Those people who came to mourn with Martha and Mary, who knows where they were at? Many of them had not yet believed, because we are told that many did believe after. So many of them weren't believers, and they're thinking, this is just not going to be good. What in the world does that man think he's going to do? Who does that Jesus think he is? I can't believe that Martha and Mary are letting him do this. What's going to happen? It's going to be terrible. This is going to be embarrassing for them. But the stone was rolled away and Jesus spoke the words and Lazarus came forth. Victory over the grave given by Jesus. Can you imagine the atmosphere of the people in that moment? Fear. Wow. Whoa, what's going on? Are you sure he was dead? Yeah, we wrapped him. We know he was dead. He had died 4 days ago. Joy. Wow, Lazarus is back. This is great. We can go for coffee tomorrow again. He's alive. He's well. We can have some fellowship. Amazement. Who is this man that can call somebody out from the grave and they come forth? Seeing his great power, praise God, we read in verse 45 that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. How could you not? How could he not believe? Seeing him raise the dead. Seeing his tears of compassion. Hearing his words of promise. How could they not believe? Well, you and I haven't seen him raise anyone from the dead. But I ask you today, do you believe his power? Do you believe what he's able to do in your life and mine? From the beginning of this story, we see there was a need to believe because things didn't pan out the way it was expected. But Jesus had said at the beginning of the chapter, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God. They needed to believe. This applied to Martha and Mary. It applied to the disciples. Remember, Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there to keep him alive and heal his sickness because this is going to be better for you to see what I'm able to do. It was for the disciples. It was for the crowd of people who gathered there. And the result of it all was people believed. This morning I ask you, do you believe? Do you believe his promises? His promises of life and salvation. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? Have you called upon him and said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Savior. I believe you can save me. Lord, please save me. Christian, to believe his promises, to hear and answer your prayer we looked at last week, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. Do you believe? Do you believe his passion? Do you believe that he loves you even when things seem to be going the wrong way? Do you believe his love, his passion? Do you believe that little verse, Jesus wept? Do you believe he cares in your situation? Do you believe his power, his ability to do the impossible? Are you willing, as it were, to roll away the stone from that problem and say, there it is, Lord, if you want to deal with it, I know you can. Or are you saying, no, Lord, we can't roll that stone away. I don't think you can handle that problem. Are you willing to let him have his way in your life? Do you believe? Then act on that belief.